Morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. A couple of announcements. I know Bob already talked about it. We have, remember, Ladies' Day on November 3rd. So if you're a lady here, guys, sorry. So if you're a lady here and you haven't made plans for that day, or if you have, change them. And we ask you to be here for Ladies' Day. It starts at 8:30. I know registration is at 8 o'clock. There's a lot of women who are helping with the organization of Ladies' Day. And I don't think there's been an official Ladies' Day here for a decade or two. So this will be a big day. If you have friends who are ladies, you can invite them to the Ladies' Day. And we hope we have a lot of people come for that. Also, we did have in October, we did have what we call the Country Music and Chili Cook-Off. Well, I wasn't totally in here for all of Bob's announcements, but if you haven't already heard this, the band moved. So we don't have the band anymore. But we are still having a chili cook-off. So we do ask after service that night if you're bringing chili. I did win the chili cook-off 2 years ago. I'm not trying to gloat, but I am gloating. I did win the chili cook-off. So if you have some chili you want to bring, we won't say how I won. There might or might not have been some stuffing of ballots, but I still won. So, you know, hey, bring better chili or bring better ballot stuffers. But in any case, if you plan on that, it's in October, check the website for dates or check with the office. One thing we didn't mention this morning, Rick Smotherman is still in hospice, and we want to remember him and also remember Sister Smotherman as well. And some of you have lost your child, and you know the feelings and the grief that is associated with that. And so just want to keep her in our prayers and that whole situation. Want to remind everybody about that. Do we have this? Is this ready to go? Oh, right. There have been a few times this year that I have needed change, and more than once. Three of them occurred in the same week. So we kind of started. I went to Nashville with a friend, and we stopped downtown, and we pulled up. There was no parking because there's never any parking if you've been to downtown lately. So you should take public transportation if you're going to go. If you don't know, you know, how to do that, talk to the Prims. They're experts. So, you know, you can do that. You don't have to worry about parking. And parking's like $29 an hour. So it's horrible. I don't know if it's that expensive, but it's pretty bad. So we pulled up to a meter for me to park there. Well, all I had was two $1 bills and a debit card. How are you supposed to pay for that? I got no change. So in a day and age where people think we don't use real money anymore, try parking at a meter. And you would think these meters would take a debit card, and some of them do, but not all, especially the part of town we were in. So I didn't have the proper change. All we could find in the car, we scrounged around and found a few dimes and nickels. And so we put them in the meter. I think we bought ourselves maybe 27 minutes. And so we ran and did our thing, and then trying to run back before the, I don't know if we still have meter maids, but ran back before they came to give me a ticket. So there's the first one. Here's the second one. I was at a restaurant. We were coming back. It was late. Same friend. I got to get better friends. So we're in a place that doesn't take that, and we're in another part. So we're coming back at 11 o'clock, and we pulled up to a fast food. Now, I already have a rule not to eat fast food after 10 o'clock because I kind of feel like if you pull into a fast food joint and there's no cars there and you order food, they're just going to give you something they made 10 hours ago. So I can already have that rule. So if you ask for something, tell them you don't want salt so that they'll, you know, make it fresh because everything's got so much salt. That's a little trick. In any case, so we pulled up and I ordered, it was like, you know, some extra value meal or something, no salt, so they had to make it. And we pulled up and I had a $50 bill and I gave it to them and they said, we can't take that. I said, well, of course you can. You can take this. You can take my $50. And she said, no, we can't take that because we can't make change. So, well, can I have it then? She said, no. Do you have a debit card? I said, sure. So I gave her the debit card. Now, the debit card was declined. More about that maybe another time. But declined debit card, only had a 50, and I said, now will you take my 50? She said, we can't make change, but you just go on. I said, oh, so it's the first time I was glad my debit card was declined because I got free food out of it, all right? So I still didn't have correct change. Third and last one, all right? Third and last one. On the way home from another place, I stopped to get gum. There's a certain kind of gum I like, and it seems that nobody sells it except this one place. So I walk in, it's $1.19 with tax. The tax in Tennessee is what, 28%? The sales tax? I mean, it's It's something like that. So it makes the gum like $400. So it makes the gum like $1.69 or so. I don't know. So I go up to the counter, and she rings it up, and I give her my card. She says, I can't take your card. So why not? She points to a sign. Sign says, the minimum $5. Y'all seen this sign? Yeah, totally. They totally can't do that, but they do it anyway. Credit card companies don't want them to do that. And if you're one of those store owners who do that, we're on to you. We know. Okay, you're not supposed to do that. But, so it has to be a $5 minimum. She said, you can buy two more packs of gum. I said, you could take my debit card. She said, I can't take your debit card. I pulled out a 50. I still have the 50. 50 is like a penny. You can't use it. Pulled out a 50. She said, I can't have change for that. I said, look, we got two problems. Problem number one is you can't take my card because it's not a $5 minimum. Problem number two is you can't take a 50 because you don't have change. So which one do you want to do? She said, I can't do either one. So I unwrapped the gum. She said, I'll take the card. I said, all right. It's another trick. I'm not telling y'all what to do. I'm just saying. So they took my card. All right. All three instances, all right, all three, having correct change matters. And to say that, you know, we don't need change or those issues don't occur, it's just foolish. They occur all the time. If any of you traveled abroad or y'all go international travel, you got to change your money. There is an exchange. You have to change your money. Now, you go to Puerto Rico, maybe not. But you go to China. I don't know why you would go to China. But if you go to China, you got to change your money. If you go to Mexico, you got to change your money. You can't get away from it. So we can't read this story with Jesus in the temple with money changers and say that changing money is really a bad thing. You can't get away from it. You want to park downtown, you got to change your money. You want to travel abroad, you got to change your money. You do anything, you got to change your money. This morning's story that Brooks read is a little weird because I think we focus on the wrong pieces all the time. We usually, when we hear this story, we only think about Jesus turning over tables. In fact, if you do a Google search, not now because I'm talking, but if you do a Google search and you type in, you know, money changers at the temple, I mean, you get just slides and slides and slides of all of these old cartoons or these old scenes of Jesus, you know, turning over tables. And if you look up any scene from Matthew 21, it's the only pictures you ever find. What the story is about is Jesus turning over the tables. But what's the story about? And what does this have to do with us? Y'all ever thought about that? I mean, so what if Jesus turned over the tables? If you've ever been in Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts sell Girl Scout cookies. Boy Scouts sell, anybody know? Popcorn. That's right, yeah. So at my last church, we had all these Boy Scouts and they sold popcorn. Again, I wasn't mad about them selling popcorn. I'm mad because I paid $14 and I got like an ounce of popcorn. So, but they still sold it. But one of the guys, and I bought popcorn because they were in the church and I knew the boys and I wanted to help them out. So I bought popcorn and I like popcorn. I just bought one because that's all I could afford because my debit card would probably be declined. Kind of kidding. So I saw one of our young men selling popcorn to one of the older men in the congregation. And when he walked up and tried to sell him popcorn, and the older man told him, he said, you can't sell popcorn in the church. And the little boy looked at him a little befuzzled. And he said, why not? And he said, Jesus didn't allow commercialism in the church. Well, I don't know if that statement's totally true. A, it wasn't a church. And B, is that what Jesus was mad about? Is it possible that the commercialism is not what he's so upset about? Is it possible that what this story is really about is not the popcorn? Or cookies, or selling. It's about something else. Who needs change? I think this is bigger than we think. If you got your Bibles, I just want to stay in Matthew 21, because that's really, I say that every time and we move, but we'll try it this week. So if we look at the story really centers around this building right here, the temple. And if you notice in the temple, this temple has all of these different sections. So you kind of got the outer, you know, you kind of got the outer wall and the inner walls. The temple court covers about 30 acres. Some of you have got that much land. So if you can imagine it, this structure covers about 30 acres, and it's surrounded by 1,300 feet long walls. So these big outer walls, it's 1,300 feet, and it goes all the way around. And each of the, do I have a little thing on here? I don't. Do I? Hey, I do. All right. I can't see. Anyways, So each little section of each little section of the temple. So when you come in, if you're a Gentile, you're on the outside. Ladies, you can go to the next one, but you can't go any farther than that. Only the men can go, and only the real Jewish men can go. And so each little section you go in, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller for the people who are allowed to go in, until you get right smack in the middle of the temple, and the only people who are allowed in there are the priests and those who offer sacrifices. There are two groups of people this morning we need to focus on. If we know what two groups we're supposed to read about, then we understand the story, all right? So let's go over the first group, money changers, all right? In the ancient world, or not in the ancient world, but just in the Jewish temple, the price that everybody has to pay every year, and you can find this in the book of Exodus chapter 30. So it is a requirement that everybody once a year has to pay what is a fifth of an ounce. Okay, that's the weight that the coin needs to be. So everybody, no matter if you're young, old, poor, male, female, it doesn't matter. Every Jewish male owes a shekel tax. It's every year. You got to pay it. And the reason we pay it is for the upkeep of the temple. Now, here's the problem. Every year, you got to send in your money. They don't have the Pony Express, so you can't just send it in. You got to hand deliver it to the temple, all right? It costs a fifth of an ounce. I'm showing you just a little bit behind me. You see all these different coins that would have been around in Jesus' day. Now, if you go to the temple and you have to give your coin, you all probably have coins that aren't a fifth of an ounce. And other people have coins that aren't a fifth of an ounce. And so how are we going to give a fifth of an ounce? You got to exchange your money. Yeah, that's right. It's like having a meter. And we got to have the right amount of coin. Now, that's the first problem. Here's the second problem. Is that even if your coin did have a fifth of an ounce, we don't know if it's a fifth of an ounce of silver. Right? Because some of you could be trying to get sneaky on us and put it on the scale, and it weighs a fifth of an ounce, but we don't know if it's all silver. It might be copper, or it might be some other kind of metal. So how do we know? Here's the third problem, is that some of you have dirty money. You have money that's got pagan images on it. You've got pagan gods, and we don't want to take that money here in the Lord's house, right? So what do? The temple authorities decided we're going to take one coin, one, and this is the only one they allow to pay this tax. It's the half shekel tire. That's the half shekel coin from Tyre. That's the only coin they will allow. And this is, you can look this up, you can Google it because you know it's true, or you can just trust me. It's the only coin they'll allow. And here's why they only allow it. Because Tyre is known as a purest place. They've got a mint there, and they are really good about making sure that this half shekel coin is pure silver. So when you come to the temple, you've got to bring a half shekel tire coin. You got to bring it. We know it weighs a fifth of an ounce. We know that's the coin we want. This is required for everybody in here. So let's do a little exercise. Who in here has a half shekel coin in their pocket right now from Tyre? Two people. And they're probably lying. So we already got problems. So we're going to bring a half shekel coin from Tyre. All right. So if you don't have a half shekel coin and it's temple day and it's tax day and y'all are supposed to bring the money to the temple, what are you going to do? This is the only coin that we're going to allow, and you got to pay the tax, or you got to go to jail. So what are you going to do? You're going to exchange it. That's right. Now, you can exchange it, I guess, before you come, but where are you going to get that at? So you come to the temple, and we're going to exchange it. Now, here's the deal. When you come to exchange it, if you have to exchange it, you can bring a half shekel coin, and if you don't have a half shekel coin, that's okay. We will exchange it, but it will be 12.5%. Hey, look, we're just, you know, it's the cost of doing business, folks. So it's 12.5%. Now, if you need change, so if you bring us more money and we have to make change for you and give you other coins back, that's another 12.5%. Some of you are thinking, like, that's horrible. Anybody gone to a game recently and bought tickets at the gate? Anybody? How much did you pay? You know, this is nothing new. You know, or how about this? How many of you have gone to the movie and didn't sneak in your Coke in your purse? Some of you are looking at me like you've never done that. You're the same person who told me that you had a half shekel coin in your pocket. I'm not saying you should do that. But How about if you go to, let's say that some of you are going to go to the NFL game today. I don't know why it's raining or if they're even playing at home. But if you go there and you're going to buy a drink, how much are you going to spend at the game? I mean, those of you who've been to a game, how much does it cost for two people to go to the game outside of tickets now? $100. You know, you don't want to go without a hot dog. That's $8 times two. And a Coke's like 20. So times two. You got to get a t-shirt. That's 400. So, you know, now look how much money you spent. You know, I don't think it's the fact that we're exchanging money because you have to do it. And I don't think it's the fact that you're selling stuff because let's think about the cattle and all the, everything that's offered. When you come to the temple, you have to offer a sacrifice. Now, when you get there, if you're poor, so if you don't have any money, poor people are to offer two doves. So let's call us all middle class, right? So we're all middle class citizens, and we're going to offer two doves for our sacrifice. We've got to bring the shekel coin, which we've got to exchange. So we've got to pay all that money to exchange it to get the right coin. And before we ever get to the temple, now we got to buy a sacrifice. And we didn't bring the sacrifice. Some of us are from Bucksnort. The doves wouldn't have made it. And so we got to buy two doves here. If you buy two doves and you're middle class, that costs a day's wage. So what's the average day's wage for middle class citizens today is $176. That's the average day's wage for a middle class citizen. It costs an equivalent of $176 to buy two doves to go to church today. Never mind the fact that you had to exchange your money before you came in here for that once a year coin thing. Okay? So look how much money we've spent before we've ever even walked in the door. Now, if you didn't bring two doves, we will sell them to you in the foyer when you walk in. Guess how much it costs? Remember, it was $176 out there. But when you come in here, guess how much it costs? $4,000. And I'm not, you know, it's not like Jesus, you know, was, and they were counting out 4,000 George Washington, but it's the equivalent of what that would feel like to you. Now, those of you who are middle class or less, those of you who've had your card declined, anybody got $4,000 laying around? Are you inclined to go to church now? See the problem? I'm not sure that the problem was selling popcorn. I'm not sure that the problem is commercialism. I think the problem is that Jesus doesn't like bullying. He doesn't like for people to make it harder to worship God when we ought to be making things easier. I want to think about those who are selling the animals because I'm pretty sure we haven't really thought about this. Those who are selling the animals are linked to the chief priest. Did y'all notice at the end of that story that Brooks read, you get down to verses 16 and 17? Who are the ones who get really mad when Jesus starts turning over the tables? And you notice why they get mad? Because the children come out and say, "Hosanna, son of David." And they get mad and they say, "Do you see what he's calling you?" Why are the chief priests so mad? I'm starting to wonder if it's the chief priests who are running the tables. And let's think about something else. Do you remember when Jesus gets arrested in Gethsemane? And when he gets arrested in Gethsemane, who arrests him? What kind of people arrest him? You remember what they were carrying? Swords? Sticks? Who sent those guys? Chief priests. So the people who work for the chief priests are those who are carrying the clubs and those who are carrying the swords. And it makes me start to wonder, when you came to the temple, the kind of people who ran the tables, who sold all the animals, didn't really conjure up images like this. When you come there and you try to buy your sacrifice, it's the religious mob. They have a monopoly on God. They have a monopoly on what you spend. They have a monopoly on what you weigh and how you act and what you should bring and how much you're worth and whether or not you're worthy enough to worship God today. The chief priests are angry because it's the chief priests' goons who are running the show. And I think this is what makes Jesus so upset, is that we are now deciding who gets in and who gets out. There's one more group in the story. that only Matthew mentions. Once upon a time, there was a king who wanted to give his country this new lease on life. And so he wanted to capture this city that was sitting up on a hill. And he liked the city because A, it was on the hill, but B, it wasn't tied to anything, so it allowed everybody to live in one place. But here's the problem. It's on such a hill. I got this out of an old Bible. I don't know if it really looked like this, but kind of get the drift. In order to capture it, he's going to have to figure out a way to get in. And he can't get in because it's just impossible. And so the king decides everybody needs water. And so he finds the spring of water, and he figures out that to get water from that spring, there's got this big pipe, and so it's probably going to suck it all in from the spring. And so he tells all of his followers, he says, the first one up the pipe that can get inside the capital, that's going to be my new general. And as they go, right before they go in to try to take over the city, this city is so confident and so arrogant that no one could ever take us over. They yell out to this ambitious newcomer. They said, well, tell you what, we're really scared that you're going to mount the walls and get in here. And so we've posted special soldiers to look out to see if you're going to come in. We've posted our blind men. That's how arrogant they were. Because we're so concerned that you're going to take us over. And they put blind men on the wall to look out to see if anybody was coming. Because they knew that they couldn't be beat. And they said, and one more thing, we're going to put the blind men on the wall, but also we're going to put our special soldiers at the front to make sure that if you do breach the walls, we can fight you off. You know who they put at the front? Lame people. People who couldn't walk. So just to rub it in, we got people who can't see to watch for us, and we got people who can't walk to march for us. That's how much we believe you could actually breach our walls. The king's name is David. The city's Jerusalem. He takes it over because he sneaks in, and when he gets done, he makes a new law. He says, from here on out, there will be no blind men allowed in the city gates. There will be no lame men allowed in the city gates. Just to remind everybody of that day. When we go back to the scene in Matthew, did you catch in verse 17? I'm sorry, verse 14. Who Jesus welcomes into the temple for the first time. The blind and the lame. The people who are never allowed to come in. The people who are never allowed to make a sacrifice. The people who are never accepted as part of the people. Jesus decides they're the ones we're going to accept. They're the ones we're going to let in. They're the ones we want to actually come in. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there are 6 references to the blind coming to Jesus in the last 11 chapters of Matthew, and there are 3 references to the lame coming to Jesus in the last 11 chapters. Church, let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't like bullies. He doesn't like for people to be abused just because you can. And he doesn't like for you to make it harder for them just because you can. The real issue here is not commercialism. The real issue here are those people who just want to make it harder for everybody else. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of finding this everywhere now. Y'all notice nothing's easy. It's almost like they want to make it harder. You ever tried to order something online? Isn't it awful? And I don't mean to say it's the same thing as, you know, the lame and the blind coming, but it's pretty difficult. You try to put in your card number, and if you don't put in your name, you got to start all over. And if you don't put in the right zip code, you got to start all over. And before you know it, you just say, well, just forget it. I wonder how many people think that way about church. I wonder how many people come in here to these doors right here. And they tried to come in, and they really weren't accepted. And they tried to come in again, but they really weren't wanted. How long before they finally say, just forget it? How about this? How long until we become people who become the first to accept those that no one else wants? Or we become the first
to welcome those that no one else will welcome. It's really not about the popcorn. What it's really about is whether or not we're going to make it easy or whether we're going to make it hard. Because if you look at the end of this story that Brooks read, when you get to verse 17, Matthew uses different language. Who needs change? All those marketeers are shouting. Who needs change? You know what Jesus would say in return? You do. You need change. You need to change your life. But Jesus knows that nobody's going to change. And at the end of the story, Matthew uses a different word than the other gospel writers. The other gospel writers say that Jesus gets so mad, he turns over the table and he leaves the temple. In Matthew's gospel, in Matthew's version, Matthew uses a different word. Matthew doesn't say Jesus leaves the temple. Matthew says Jesus abandons the temple. And you might say, so what? It's a big so what. Jesus is done. Jesus knows they're never going to change. Jesus knows they're never going to change who they are or what they do. They're just going to stay who they are and do what they've always done. Jesus, next week, we're going to start looking when Jesus comes back. And he finally goes toe-to-toe with the bullies. And he shows everybody who's in charge and who really needs change. This morning, I want us to think about who really needs change. Because I'm going to tell you, church, it shouldn't be this hard to come to Jesus. I got gas yesterday. Let me just kind of break this down for you, how this went. I pulled into the pump, and I'm on the phone, which I think you shouldn't be because your car will blow up, but I'm on the phone. You should just be, you can't smoke and pump gas. Now you can't smoke. Not that I smoke, but you can't even, now talking on the phone is even worse. Car will blow up. But obviously, I was more concerned about the phone call. So I'm on the phone. I'm talking on the phone. I pull up. I get the pump, and I put it in the car. I'm still talking, and I'm squeezing it. I still think I'm living in 1986. You just pull up and pump gas. And I'm squeezing it and talking on the phone, squeezing it. And I turn around, I'm on the phone like this, and I turn around, I go like this to the guy inside the station. I go to the station all the time, and I've worked with the guy a long time ago. And I go like this, and he goes back. And then he goes, he made the money sign, you know, made the money sign. So I'm on the phone. I said, hey, man, let me call you back because I'm dealing with difficult people. You know, am I really dealing with difficult people or am I being difficult? Yeah. But hold on. Wait till the story's over. Then you tell me. Okay. So I get off the phone. I put the thing back. I pull my card out. Now, I know the car is going to be accepted because I know there's no sneaksies now. Okay, I got it. So I put it in, and I grab the pump, and I put it in, and I'm squeezing it, and nothing has happened. And I look back, and the machine says credit or debit? I don't know. Debit. I'm squeezing it. What's your PIN number? Oh, put in my PIN number. And I hit that. I'm squeezing it. Nothing's happening. I look back. What's your zip code? Oh, my goodness. Now, put in my zip code, and then I remember that's the zip code to my old house. Cards, and it said, doesn't work. See attendant. So I put it back in, and I look to him, and I yell to him, I said, just turn it on one more time. I've been here for 5 minutes now. So I put it back in, credit or debit, and I tell it, debit, what's your PIN? I put in my PIN, what's your zip code? And I put in the right zip code this time. I'm squeezing it, nothing's happening. And I turn around and it says, would you like a receipt? No, I don't want a receipt. I just want my gas. And I'm squeezing it, and it says, would you like a car wash? I thought I'd like to turn this thing upside down. I said, no, I don't want a car wash. See attendant. So I put it back in, I walk in, I said, Rick, what's the deal, man? He said, that last one was me. I just wanted to see you come in. And I looked at him. I said, Rick, this ain't supposed to be that hard, man. It ain't supposed to be that hard to get gas. And he said, welcome to 2018. We make everything difficult. And I turned around and at first I thought, what does that mean? And then I thought, he's right. Is anything easy anymore? Have y'all found anything to be easy anymore? Just getting online is difficult. Just paying for gas is difficult. Everything is difficult. Everything takes a process just to do. Why is everything so hard? And I wonder if God has ever looked at me and he thought, why do you make things so hard? Why has everything got to be a process with you? I wonder how many times I have made it difficult for others to come to Jesus. I wonder how many times I have made it hard on others because they didn't weigh enough. I wonder how many times I have made it hard on people who come in that door because they weren't as pure as me. I wonder how many times I put them through an ordeal to make change. You know what the real problem is? It's not that they're not worthy enough, because let me tell you something. I'm no more worthy than y'all. And we're no more worthy than everybody else who comes in that door. There is no one in this room who's worth saving more than somebody else. I don't care how long you've been to church. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how good you are or how much you weigh. You know what the real problem is? It ain't the popcorn. It's that I am measuring others according to what I weigh and how pure I am. God help us. But here's the worst part. If we take this road, he can't. Jesus will abandon you. Doesn't mean you can't be saved. It just means you got your reward. There's one passage that only occurs in Luke. It's Luke 17. And I'm just paraphrasing my interpretation. Jesus says, there are things that will ruin your life. Woe to those through whom those things come. Woe to those who make it difficult for other people. And then Jesus says, it would be better for you to wear concrete shoes and jump into the river than to be a person who makes it difficult for the little ones to come to me. Jesus abandoned the temple, and at the end of the age, there is no hope for those who choose to weigh others according to what we weigh. Who's going to make it easier for everybody else? Who's going to start accepting those that we've never accepted before? I didn't mean accept their ways. I just mean who's going to accept those people? Who will take in those whom you didn't want to? Who needs change as we stand and sing?